हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द
श्री अद्वैत
गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे A devotee should be compassionate for the sufferings of the conditioned souls and should have pure heart. A devotee should completely abandon all his material attachments. A devotee should, so completely meaning that he may have them, but he deals with them, but he has to get to the point where he's completely gotten rid of them. So it's not just enough, he's just engaged them or things like that. He should bring it to the point where they don't exist anymore. It doesn't mean he doesn't work in the field, but this, they don't exist anymore.
It's like human drive, the famous prayer, and things about.
Yeah, it means because there's just no need.
But does it mean it comes up?
The mind, yeah, the mind just does what it does. It's supposed to think of things, right? And so in thinking of things, it may think of things that are not so important. So if things come up that are not so important, well, it's just not interesting. You know? So that's the idea.
So that means there's no material desires or attachments?
Yeah.
In such a state?
Yeah.
So in our state, if we kind of think about something that was attractive before, and now we just don't dwell on it, means we got rid of it?
Could be. Yeah, I mean, you just have to see it, is what it means.
No, that's
generic. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then that would generally be an indication that it's not so important. Otherwise it may come up, but if you don't think about it, then you don't worry about it. Okay. Devotees should surrender to Lord Chaitanya with firm faith just by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna. One automatically performs all subsidiary activities. So five in the Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his commentaries to Srimana Siksha. As long as the results of fruitive activities are not diminished by the purifying association of saintly persons, Shraddha or faith will not occur. Without proper faith, one remains unqualified to hear transcendental topics and thus assimilate spiritual instructions. Right? Without faith, one can't actually assimilate. It doesn't mean that the words won't go in the ear and the brain won't digest the verbiage that's there or the wordage like that. But it doesn't mean that there'll be an understanding like that. Because the idea that, no, it's that through intelligence I'll understand. No, it's through the Lord's grace you'll understand. At least spiritual. Material it may be, but that's dependent upon your previous karma. Mm. Right? You have good karma, you have good intelligence. Not good karma, you know good intelligence. Or the intelligence is good as one area, but not another. Yes.
So this is already the communication with Krishna that's going. You perform, you have some faith, and then that allows him to reciprocate.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise... If what's his name, our wheelchair physicist is sitting there and
Hawking.
He's looking at one thing and then suddenly goes, wow, is God. You know, I mean, it may not work so well for him. You know, so yeah.
He'll probably write his way around it somehow.
Yeah.
Maharaj, when we assimilate, we are. It is the step before realization.
Yeah, assimilate, yeah. But also you could say assimilate could be that you understand, but here it also could be assimilate means you make it part of your lifestyle, so it would be realization. Right? Like that. Because here it's saying, it's in the same sense, devotees should fully surrender to Lord Chaitanya with firm faith, that just by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities, right? Because otherwise, there's the idea, so many little things need to be done. But if you're pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna, then all the little things aren't so important. You know, the little Shraddha rites and, you know, all these other different things that are pious and important. You know? So they're already taken care of in the worship of Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. Because we're always trying to get everything right. You know, in the relationship or in situation, so we'll figure if everything's not perfect, it's not going to work. So, because we're working in the material environment, the tendency will be, well, if everything here is working perfectly, then that means that, you know, spiritually. But it's two different things. You know what I'm saying? Is that it means you work on your English, you know, essay. It doesn't mean that your math. You know, homework also gets done, right? You know, it means if you have an assistant tiger, maybe it does. But if you're not, then it won't work. No. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? The tiger does the homework.
Oh, I was trying to think who you had an assistant tiger.
Calvin. Is there someone else?
No.
Platypus. Platypus also has a tiger.
He-Man.
Actually, Pooh also has a tiger.
He-Man also has a tiger.
He-Man has a tiger.
That's, He-Man, he's a cartoon character from the 80s.
He has a tiger.
Yeah, he rides around with a tiger.
I can't remember what company it is. Maybe Shell or something has a tiger in their tank.
Shell.
Yeah, so quite a few people have tigers, actually. Durga writes a tiger.
But the math homework still doesn't get done.
Yes, but the math homework still doesn't get done. Whatever tiger it is, the math homework still doesn't get done. He's trying to figure out what we're talking about.
But tiger like man, who is a kshatriya, he studies scripture.
Yeah, but when he's doing English, it doesn't mean math is getting done. Yeah, it means... Right? So the idea is that we're worried that, you know, the one and the other, but the point is that if you're working on a bigger principle, the smaller ones are already taken care of. Right? But, you know, of course, and that's a whole subject, that it's, what do you call it, that the points are appropriate means you may not have you'll say, oh, I don't have to do this, you know, just like I'm spending this money for Krishna, so there's no need of taking care of accounts. No, but it also says don't be neglectful in ordinary dealings. So in other words, ordinary dealings that go with your occupation, those should be done. But the point is details that are cancelled by serving Krishna, then that's, you know what I'm saying, like the Shraddha rites are cancelled. Because you're already worshipping the Supreme Forefather. Why you're just going back a few generations, you're going all the way back. Does that make sense? As long as the results of fruitive activities are not diminished by the purifying association of saintly persons, Shraddha or faith will not occur. Without proper faith, one remains unqualified to hear transcendental topics and thus assimilate spiritual instructions. Because you'll hear them, but you won't assimilate, and so you'll come up with other ideas and doubts, so better you don't hear. right? Or you won't be interested to hear, right? It's not going to happen. However, if faith dawns in one's heart, his very first step is to accept initiation from a bona fide Diksha Guru, right? Because if faith is there, then you take up that association in Bhajana Kriya, right? So Bhajana Kriya means technically that you have taken initiation. So that means the initiation is taking place in sadhu sangha. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're taking initiation from a sadhu. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just, yeah. To receive, his first step is to accept initiation from a bona fide Diksha Guru, to receive a mantra for constant worship, and to render loving devotional service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. One should chant this mantra and worship both the initiating and instructing spiritual masters with great attachment, never thinking that the guru is merely a great sage, rather that he is one's most intimate and well-wishing friend. Right? Not that he's just advanced and I'm doing my thing, but his instructions, that is the best thing for you, right? So they're your best intimate and most well-wishing friend because they're teaching you about Krishna, right? And that relationship with Krishna is the most important relationship one can cultivate. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, like the Mayavadis, they just take something and then they develop and they mature on their own without the, you know, necessarily input of the, how you say?
Stepladder.
I thought you said snap louder. And I was trying to think, did I snap at all? You know, like that. Then I was trying to think of it some kind of like new jive or, you know, yeah.
New action, take two, snap.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure they don't call it a clap, though. Yeah. Okay. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah? Now, just let's go back to the first sentence again. It's an interesting point there. As long as the results of fruitive activities are not diminished by the purifying association of saintly persons, right, shraddha or faith will not occur. So in other words, the results of fruitive activities, when you're getting results and you think that these results are mine for my own purpose, right, then that's results of fruitive activities. It doesn't mean that in the past you performed an activity and now you're using the result for Krishna, right? It's not counted as fruitive, right? Even you're doing your work, it's your work, you're doing the work, it's by your own effort, you know, and you're the man, and then you get the results from that work, and then you give that results to Krishna. It's not counted as fruitive work. It's counted as mixed devotional service. Right? Because part of it is not devotional, but the result is devotional, therefore the whole thing gets counted as devotional. Right? And to that degree that the mixing is less, it's counted as less mixed, right? Or more devotional. Right? Does that make sense?
What happens with the fruitive element of that? Because it's mixed, so then there's a fruit.
No, but that's the point is this here, the results of fruitive activities. It didn't say the fruit. He didn't say as long as fruitive activities are not diminished. It's the results. In other words, the point is if shraddha is the first step, you can understand it's not that they go from, how you say, you know, 0 to 100 in, you know, 5.3 seconds. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's there is. It was interesting. It's like, when I said the number, then he really, ooh. And the other guys, yeah, okay. Like that, because you were thinking kilometers, yeah, and they were saying, yeah, okay. And he's thinking miles an hour, not bad. You know? It's funny sometimes all these, how you say, you know, the eclectic reaction. You know, I mean, the reactions of an eclectic group. Like we're talking, and then he said, "What are they talking about?" These guys nuts? Yeah, we're nuts.
He had that look like, "I don't know what's going on, but I kind of like it."
yeah, it's fun. Right. So, in other words, you start to see that results are for Krishna. You start to see that your activities are meant for Krishna. If that happens by the purifying association of saintly persons, right, then Shraddha comes up. But if you associate with the sadhus, but you still think everything's mine and, you know, I'm the man, then it's not going to happen. Shraddha won't come up. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very interesting to always note how the acharyas very carefully word everything. You know, so it's not just how to make it sound good in the language, but they actually word everything very well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it still seems that that's one's own effort. Because the sadhus are there and they give instructions. And if one
takes it,
then it's gonna work. If it doesn't, if one listens and doesn't take it, as you just explained, so it's not gonna work.
Well, it says are not diminished by the purifying association of saintly persons.
So
you can also be around them for a long time, and even unknowingly, you are getting benefit, right? Unless one's offensive. Just like I think it was Ramanuja had one of his disciples sit at a public pukkha where all the smarter Brahmins and everyone were taking their bath, and he had his feet. You know, he sit on another side and had his feet dangling into the pond. So then that means every day they were taking bath in Charinamrita. But I'm not sure what his position was. I don't remember socially if he was a Brahmin or if he was just a common background. I don't remember. But in any case, you know, in other words, he tried preaching to them and it didn't work. So then Ramanuja suggested this method. And then after, I forget what it is, so many weeks or that, then when he tried preaching, they'd been purified enough so they could appreciate it. Yeah.
Does that mean then?
No, it doesn't mean you should soak your feet in a vat of, you know, at the Coca-Cola factory or something.
Yeah,
like
we can
that.
Buy
it. It'd be bad for your toenails.
We can buy water service providers in some big city, you know, have the sadhus around the they drink the
could yeah might work. Yeah, you'd have to have a lot of sadhus if you're targeting New York or something.
Texas.
They might be better spent in other more direct ways. Is it,
you mean like Belfast?
No, I mean like instead of having just the feet and the water and then the like dilute charanamrita going all over, they might be better spent, you know, actually going and visiting people of influence and preaching and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, as long as it works. But I mean, it's an idea. It's an interesting idea. Like that. Yeah, and then you could, you know, on the water bottle, you can put the name as, you know, Charana Padma or something.
It would probably work best if people didn't know what it exactly meant.
Yeah, no, it would be. It would be.
We're trying to help you.
A devotee should be afraid of insulting other Vaishnavas. It means he should be afraid of that. Because the point is Vaishnavas are very dear to Krishna. So therefore, if you upset the Vaishnavas, you upset Krishna. And the whole point is it's Krishna's mercy by which we advance. If Krishna's not pleased, then there's a problem. So we should be afraid of that. You know, other things we're not afraid of. Like we see Prahlad Maharaj, he wasn't afraid of anything except for that the illusory power of Maya. That was the devotee's duty is to practice forgiveness and show mercy. Because forgiveness, it's one of the, you could say, in the Shastras we'll talk that it's one of the prominent qualities of the Brahmin. You know, if not the most important, is forgiveness. Because it's harder when you add the mode of passion or mode of ignorance, it's very hard to affect forgiveness. So it's a quality of goodness. So then forgiveness means that whatever is the cause of the problem has already been dropped. Otherwise, then, you know, if you want to have some fun, you just, you know, in an assembly, you want to talk about authority and this and that, bring up, you know, the, you know, late 70s, early 80s and something like that, or somebody from that time who was in authority, and immediately, you know, everyone starts getting very animated and this and that. Why? Because the forgiveness is not there. Right? But if you mention something from that time and everybody kind of chuckles about it, that means there's forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the point, is what, you know, so many years afterwards, you know, yeah, that was really bad. And then later on, it's like, you know, that was funny, you know, like that. Wasn't that crazy? You know, if you're doing this, doing that, you know, like that. So you can tell if forgiveness is there, then it's dropped.
Yes? If we have some, I was having my chart done, my astrology chart the other day, and if there's some pain from the past, there's some. Is it due to ignorance or a lack of forgiveness or what, you know?
It means every being in the material world is basis is ignorance, right? Because the sambandha here is ignorance, right? You know, the abhideya is passion, the reason you're doing something is for yourself, right? And then the result is, you know, coming from goodness. And because people are in passion and ignorance, then goodness doesn't last very long. Right? So therefore their happiness is minimal. Right? So the basis being ignorance means whatever one's doing, good or bad, is based on ignorance. The person is doing good work because he thinks, I'm the body, they're the body, I don't like to suffer, so it's not nice that they're suffering. Right, so that's compassion. You'll say it's nice, it's a nice quality, but it's based on ignorance. Right, so it's not actually based on knowledge. So as that ignorance transforms, they may or may not care about, you know, those other persons anymore. The compassion will go away. Does that make sense? You know, and by ignorance, you always do wrong work, so you get a bad result. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, it's just by being Krishna conscious, then you can make everything go nice, right? That's the real point. So the chart only has some, you know, validity in giving some ideas so you're clear where the weaknesses are. So what things you have to, where one should focus, you know, because they could, you know, where to start. Okay, you know, the mind's like this, so you start here. The occupation like this. So then this just gives you something to do. But it's not that the chart is controlling you. The chart just tells you what's there at the time of your birth. That's all. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's just like the birth certificate says you were born in this hospital at this time. So it's not that every time you walk by that hospital there's this draw and it just starts pulling on you. Or, you know, as the clock comes, ticks close, you know, and the seconds get longer and longer and louder. Tick, 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 you know, and overwhelming like this as it gets to the point and then finally it goes by. Okay, yeah, you know, you're not controlled by it. Does that make sense? It just says what's there. It's not that the chart is there, that's why you get angry easy. No, it's just you get angry easy, and the chart just says, hey, you get angry easy. You understand?
What about these traumas then? These from the past?
Traumas.
Yeah, these traumatic experiences. They still have some. You don't open that box.
Hey, you can work on that. The Swedes work on that. Their point is if something goes wrong, you just don't talk about it and it goes away like that. Because after a while, you kind of forget about it. They never address it, never deal with it. It's just not...
But that's repression, isn't
it? It's not repression. It's just called ignoring.
Ignorance,
yeah. And then if you change the pronunciation a little bit, then you get ignorance. You know, so just a matter of whether it's ignorance or ignorance.
So should we do anything with those things?
Means if it's something that is there you're conscious, you can see where there's an advantage, you know, to address. Then if you can address without getting all tangled up in it, then do. And if not, then you leave it. As you get more purified, there's more knowledge and more detachment. And then if later there's a necessity, then you deal with it. Then it'll be easier. In other words, if there's something you see as a problem, you try to deal with it, you know, by inquiring into it. And if it gets too weird, then you just leave it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? For later. Because later on, as we get purified, it gets easier. Right? I thought you were going to say, you mentioned the word compassion.
Most people get out of it. On the other side, remorse. Does that also
help? Well, remorse is what the other guy is supposed to do.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I thought maybe.
Okay, I'm doing all the forgiveness part, but is he doing the remorse part? You know, that's the real question. So you don't worry about the remorse side of it unless you're the one that should be remorseful. The whole idea is that self-realization means realizing that all you can deal with is the self.
Yes.
You can't actually deal beyond that.
But if you have remorse for someone, would that help them?
If you have remorse for someone,
if you've done something wrong, will that help them? You have maybe forgiveness on you, or if you can...
You mean so kind of like they did something wrong by coming up and... you know, walking up to you, insulting you. So then you figure, well, they'll feel bad about that. So if I come up and insult them, then they won't feel so bad because it's balanced.
I wasn't thinking like that.
No, okay.
That's a good thought, though.
I was thinking, if
we all do something wrong.
I was thinking actually for management, like maybe management, you know, you were talking about 70s or something, and then you talked about forgiveness. But then I was thinking if management had some remorse that maybe they did something wrong in that time.
The problem is the management from then is, you know, probably living in Alachua. So it's not that they're necessarily the ones that would need to be remorseful about today's management. You know what I'm saying? For their own personal life, then if there's something there, it'll be good for their own benefit. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, it's like that. We look at it, okay, authority's done something, if they're remorseful, but the point is if who's received it is not forgiving, then it doesn't work. So the emphasis here is on forgiving, because it's like, I can't do anything until he's remorseful. No, I can be forgiving, and whether they're remorseful or not, I've moved on. Now, whether they move on, that's their business. So the thing is, you can control. That's why he says here, he doesn't say, the devotee's duty is to practice forgiveness and show mercy and to make sure everybody else is remorseful. Right? If a remorse always helps, but remorse means is that this is wrong, I won't do it again.
Yes.
But the remorse where I'm so stupid, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm pond scum, you know, that kind of thing, that is, you know, not very useful like that. If you're Japanese, maybe, but otherwise, then, you know, but it doesn't end well, right? You know, so... Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is the modern definition of remorse is not good. Right? Because it means that I did that, so now I am feeling bad. No, the point is you're not technically involved, but you're attached to it. So the point is the knowledge works on both sides. You're not actually doing these things, but you're attached to these things, so that's the problem. So the problem is giving up that attachment to these things. Then you see is that it means you're not doing anything, but that also means no one else is doing anything. So it automatically gives rise to forgiveness. Right? But forgiveness means you start with that point. Well, you know, the person is just acting according to what they think is good or this or that or, you know, whatever is their conditioning. So they may mean well or not, but the point is it's not technically them doing it. I'm looking at this action is performed, right? You know, so in any case it works. But you're trying to get to the point of knowledge.
Yeah.
But for most cases they just want you to feel bad because they feel that's justice. If you feel bad, I felt bad, so if you feel bad, now it's okay. rather than I felt bad, but the point is that I felt bad because I'm not Krishna conscious, right? Then it's a whole different element. You know what I'm saying? That's why the term is used, forgiveness. Because so much of the time you have the meeting and they're called in, and so do you feel remorseful, but are they feeling forgiveness? That's not there. And do they show mercy? Not necessarily. Because if you feel remorse, then you're in a submissive position, then they can control. Right? Because that's the point. So it's not forgiveness and mercy. Yeah, no. You have no obligation. You only have an obligation to expose yourself to an assembly of advanced devotees. You know, like that. And that means they're acting in that capacity. But if they're not going to act in that capacity, you're under no obligation. That's just the way it works. Right? Yeah, because if they expect it, then that's management. You know, so then what's it got to do with being senior in devotional life? You know, they're two different things. Okay. Yeah, all these different ranges. All different, yeah. I think it's called, technically it would be called a cacophony. But devotional nonetheless. So even a cacophony can be used in the Lord's service. That's the point. Anything can be used for Krishna. The devotee's duty is to preach by setting a good example. Right. So he will, in other words, all these different things, if you're applying them in your life, then that should result in a good example. Right? And if nothing else, then it just leaves, you know, you try to do the right thing because it's a good example. Then by doing it for Krishna, after a while, one will get purified, and then one will be able to naturally do it instead of doing it just because you're supposed to.
One step on the forgiveness. If the fear of not forgiving someone based on the fact that if you forgive, you may lose control, would that?
That could be, but also by not forgiving, it gives an identity. Hmm. By not forgiving, it creates feelings, you know, and a certain intensity. And then it can be a basis of interaction because it's happened to you and it's happened to them, and therefore we can get together. So it gives a lot of opportunity for mundane interaction like that. But the point is we're trying to move beyond the mundane to the spiritual. So one has to, you know, leave this platform. So, because justice means it happened to you, now it will happen to them. But the point is it happening to them generally means it's being administered by you. Right? So then that means the problem is that then you have to wait around. You know, in other words, you know, how it's working, but basically, you know, this manifestation in the Kali Yuga with the SS, they were last, you know, Kali Yuga's Jews, right? And, you know, like this. So it just goes on and on and on. Does that make sense? So it just keeps going back and forth.
So then it's not a situational change, it's a change in mentality.
It's a change in mentality. So the point is that there's plenty to think about and talk about and base relationships on and to create that interest and identity. But so forgiveness will pave the way for broadening that. Because otherwise then...
Right now.
Yeah. Like that. Okay. Yeah.
Can we say that Krishna is the first person with four living, entities?
You could say, because, but the point is, he's coming, sitting in your heart. right? So would you go and go everywhere and, you know, where somebody that you felt did you wrong is doing? You know what I'm saying? The person who's upset you, are you going to go everywhere with them, be with them when they do everything and everything like that?
No.
No, the tendency is to stay away, right? The Krishna comes as Paramatma, sits in the heart like that. So point is it's just, the difficulties are done under the modes of nature, so therefore, right? But that doesn't mean that just because it's understood it's under the modes of nature, so it's not really the soul, doesn't mean that you don't get rid of the illusion that puts you under the modes of nature.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just like the small child, they do stupid stuff, but it doesn't mean that they don't, you know, mature and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so many things the kids do, you forgive. Mm-hmm. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, there's you're sitting there in the, you know, middle of what do you call it? Is it Grand Central Terminal, right? And so then, you know, a kid starts yelling and screaming, a little kid. You know, nobody calls security, right? But now if there was a, you know, full-grown adult there in his three-piece suit and his, you know, it's like that, and start yelling and screaming, then they call security, right? So it's a kid, they do these things, they let it go. Does that make sense? Yeah. So for Krishna, it doesn't bother him, because the living entity doesn't really know what they're doing, especially now doesn't know what they're doing. So,
just on this point about the, you know, if there's been something happened, and then the management have to decide for, you know, punishment and or whatever you would call it, you know, correction like that. So then if it's Krishna conscious, you know, about hearing and chanting, and, you know, they must have their service monitored and things like that, then that person, they will, by that association, they will improve, and their consciousness will improve.
It means you have to see that the situation that you're in gives you association so that it does improve.
Yeah.
Because the reason that it's not is because of some lack of that.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Yes, some lack of that, then that's the problem. Because difficulty only comes due to passion and ignorance. It's not coming because of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So in the association of devotees, you get proper understanding. You know, then your practice will be proper, so things will correct itself. So it's just a matter of how difficult, or how, you know, what is the nature of the particular activity, you know, and so therefore what would be the best method to correct it. And it's so, and that depends upon the individual, the situation, the individual. That, so for one person it could go one way, another person completely different. So it's, that's why judgment or punishment is only to be handled by qualified people. Because if you punish wrong, then you get reaction. It's not that you just punish. I was just doing my duty like that. It didn't work at Nuremberg. It's not going to work now, right? You know, like that. So, it's not the.
And what to do then? Because the Brahmanas, they can practice forgiveness because a Brahman is on the.
No, it's not that they can. They naturally do.
Because they're on the Brahman.
The others should, but they have it. It's hard.
They're on the Brahman platform, so they can see the living entities in the material world and so on.
That, or even just by nature, that they're not so materially attached, so therefore then the sense of justice and all that is not so important. See, justice, economics, and ethics, they're one grouping. They go together with pranamoy, artha. So someone who's worried about artha, money, you know, position like that, will be worried about justice and ethics. So anything wrong in ethics, that's the big problem. Not that whether it's wrong in Dharma, it's wrong in ethics.
And those people who find it hard to forgive because of these modes, and what to do with their, because they have pain about this thing, and they can't see with this knowledge, so what to do with that? They need to just be...
That's their business. You're supposed to do your business.
So
that means, where are you putting yourself in this? You're putting yourself on that council of One's deciding the rectification or the person who's being rectified?
The rectifier or the rectifiee? I'm thinking of from a management point of view, like, well, how did, you know...
Then it has to be discussed with them on, you know, what is the actual standards, Krishna consciousness, this and that. And then, you know, if need be, then someone who's too close to it, they're not supposed to be involved. You know, you can't be a judge on something if you're too close to it. You know, it works both ways. You can't expect someone too close to the situation to be a witness. Like, you don't get a man's wife to be a witness against him. It's not allowed in the Vedic system. Like that. So in the same ways, you can't get someone who's that close to be the judge either.
So this is the same medicine for the person who was the injured party. They also need association.
Yeah, it's always the same thing. The point is if you're affected either way, you're the person who is performing a wrongful act, or the person who's the recipient of the wrongful act. Both require the same kind of association. Otherwise, it doesn't bother you. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It means something will generally only bother you if it's in an area that is important to you.
Yeah, if it's a value.
Yeah, if it's not a value, you don't care.
Yeah. What about parents punishing their children? Sometimes it can be hard, unfair. It depends on the character of the parent. Some people are more, you know, conservative, more strict.
But that's not the problem. Being conservative or being liberal is not the problem. It's whether it's appropriate and it does the work.
If it does, will you be implicated in the bad?
If it does means?
If it works.
If it works.
Yeah, but it may be too hard. Because that's the previous point, you know, that you get the reaction. If you punish somebody unfairly, you get the reaction.
But the point is there's a difference between fairly... whether it's fair or not, and whether your attitude is right or not. It may be that someone is fairly giving punishment, but their attitude for being involved in the process is not correct. So we're discussing now the attitude, not whether it's fair or not. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because that's another discussion, technically. You know, that would be one connected with civics. So if you're interested, then after Gaur Purnima, we'll be discussing, you know, what's fair or not.
But if we speak about the reaction, is that this fair or not fair? Will the parent be implicated in the reaction?
Means if their mentality is wrong, then they'll be implicated to some degree. But it means not from the point of what they've done is wrong, but their attitude is wrong, because you get the reaction on whatever level it's performed. Right, a wrongly performed physical action gets a physical reaction. A wrongly performed mental action gets a mental result. You know, an intellectual gets an intellectual, or a sensual gets a sensual. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point. You know, it's not like you steal a cookie and you'll become stupid. You know, like that. It doesn't work like that. You know. Is you steal the cookie, then they're going to steal your cookie. You know, it's just like, you know, all the kids are sitting there at lunch and you look over and see the cookie and he's looking that way and you steal his cookie. What you didn't notice is the reason he wasn't looking, he was stealing the next kid's cookie, and while you were doing that, this kid stole your cookie. You know, then everybody takes the cookie and puts it into the lunch box and then looks down and then sees one cookie. You know, so then, you know, then it's like, hey! You know. Does that make sense? So the reaction happens on what you've done. Okay. Right? So mentality's wrong, so you get some reaction on the mentality. You know, in other words, someone else will deal with you correctly, but with a wrong mentality. So that's what you'll get. You know? Okay. Yes?
Perhaps I understand your distinction about when you mentioned justice and ethics, but that's not dharma.
Justice means what's right and wrong. Ethics is, you know, means justice will be that you've done something and that's not appreciated, so an equivalent amount of wrongness will be you have to experience. That's justice, right? You took 10 rupees, so you have to give back 10 rupees, or there might be a fine, right? Because if it's just 10, well, hey, I tried, so I didn't learn anything. But here's then you know. So ethics means what was right or wrong for the situation.
Right, so isn't dharma what gives what is right or wrong?
No, that's what's good and bad. Just like this. Let us say, okay, we'll give you multiple choice here. The person's a thief, okay? Now, he wants to steal something, but there's a camera that moves back and forth. So he can either A, take his chances, just jump out there and get it and try to, you know, like that. Or B, he can wait till the camera has panned by where it's not looking at him, then go out and steal it. Which of these two would be correct, A or B?
Correct.
You're stealing, so which would be correct?
B. You don't get caught.
Yeah. So that's correct for that. So that's right and wrong.
That's ethics.
Yeah. The good and bad means should you be stealing? You understand the two different things? They're mixed up in this age, because the whole point is everything's about artha. So they look at it. So then they throw in your you have ethics and morality, but they're both the same thing. But it's just that morality seems to bring out the thing of it's, you know, that they'll try to put good and bad into there. But where does the concept of good and bad come from? That comes from dharma. That comes from God. So God defines what activity you should be performing and what you shouldn't be performing. Right? But as far as technique goes, there's a right and wrong for every technique, no matter what you're doing. Right? You know, you want to throw a brick through somebody's, you know, windshield. Means, one, you have to have the brick in your hand. It can't be on the side of the road, right? And two, you'd have to be in the proximity of their windshield. Three, you'd have to throw it with enough force that it actually will break through the windshield. You know, if you don't do that, it didn't work. So there's a right and wrong for doing an activity in the mechanics. But then there's the whole point is, you know, should that be being done? Is that appropriate activity for your position? Does that make sense? You know, so that's a whole different. Yes.
Can we trace this? I mean, this is from the Vedas.
Right.
And we can trace this up to like modern time, how we lost the dharmic and started to think that ethics has some meter for what is actually.
I mean, oh, okay. You could probably say officially, you know, in the 1700s that became the way, because then when you separate church and state, then religious elements don't define what's right or wrong. It's what's good for. In other words, stealing isn't bad because God said so. Stealing's bad because it's just a social annoyance to, you know, the state management.
Yeah.
But the point is why the state management think it's bad, right? You know, technically. If that's the thing, if you were only looking at that, you should only get punished if you got caught. Because that's what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, why would you be punished for stealing? I mean, of course, if the other guy, you know, complained. But that's what happens is he complains and then you find out you're connected. So then that's your...
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes is that you can't. There is no separation between church and state. We'll say, oh no, but there has to be, and this and that, and even you know, the devotional service is one thing, and there's the practical. You know, it's a matter of there is, since God is everything, it's His energy that makes everything work. You can't separate God and state, or God and home, or God and the individual. You can't. There's nothing that you can separate from God. So it's an illusion. So all they've done is increase the already present illusion that's there. You know what I'm saying? So right? So if you increase the illusion, and so, you know what I'm saying? So what are you supposed to do? right? Now let us say you have, you know, the person's in what do you call it? Serbia. And they go into, what's that, you know, that, forget what it's named. Bosnia, right? And so they start, they want it to be all Serbian population, right? So anybody who's not Serbian, then, you know, they try to, how you say, remove them from the, the ethnic pool there, right? You know? So now, is that going to look good?
No.
So what do I call it?
Cleansing.
Ethnic cleansing. Sounds great, yeah. Right? Everybody likes cleaning, you know. Ethnicity is, you know, it has some flavor to it like that. So now I'm going to increase the illusion, make people more ignorant and more in illusion. So what do I call that move? What would I call that ushering in this new age?
Revolution.
No.
Oh, enlightenment?
Yes,
yeah.
Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worked for a couple of hundred years.
Yeah.
Still working.
Yeah, still working. So I'm just saying it's. Right. Oh, okay. Thank you.
The modern politicians are very enlightened.
Yes. And they're, how you say? And the constituents are especially. Lightened,
yeah. You know. They shine the light upon their constituents.
That, but I'm just saying they become lightened by their taxes.
Yeah. Also,
they become very light. You know.
In Denmark, we have 50% tax.
50%.
Wow. World record.
Wow. On everything.
In general income, I think the least amount you can get off with is 40%, but. If you're making like a regular salary, it's about
15. Oh. So there's no, okay, cool. What they don't understand is that if they take, maximum you can take is a quarter. Mm. The normal is, I think, around 16.5%. That's standard. But if there's emergency, you can take 25. But when they take beyond that, then you take on more of the karma.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, you know, so that's the thing. So, yeah, because the point is you're getting benefit from the people, so you take on karma. Right?
This springtime, when I returned to Europe,
you know, when it says 1/6, that's 1/6 because that's what taxes is 1/6. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking 25%, then you're taking on a quarter. So if you take on 50, you take like that. And you have those guys that, you know, some of the rich guys, you're taking 90%. Now, they didn't make their money so good, so you're taking 90% of the karma.
Yeah. When I returned to Europe, I opened a newspaper for the first time in, like, over 6 months, and I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? It's really, they're getting the karma, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just standard, because the point is you get what you, it means it's just, it's equal. Mm. You take more tax, means you take more karma. Mm. That's all. You know, that's why they generally don't go out so well. Yeah,
exactly.
They don't last long. They don't go out well. It used to be before, as the person, you know, kind of retired and, you know, had a good position. But now it's kind of like, you know, they get thrown out or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, get Alzheimer's. You know, something weird. They just, they fade out real fast. You know.
Not pretty.
Yeah, it's not pretty. ALS, right? The ALS, the Abe Lincoln syndrome,
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
He kind of faded out real fast.
Very, very, very. When he started to fade out, it went really fast.
Yeah. Okay. The devotee's duty is to follow Vaishnav etiquette, right? So if you follow etiquette, then generally there's less to be forgiven for, right? You know, there's more opportunities to be merciful like that, you know, like that. So in other words, all these different things come up. It's the culture in which all the good qualities can be practiced or, you know, exhibited like that. The devotee must give up the desire for fame. Right, to be known as good for something and this and that, because ultimately it's happening because of Krishna's mercy, the Vaishnava's mercy. Does that make sense? So we want to avoid that. Otherwise, then fame brings about the element that we're the doer. But,
we shouldn't necessarily renounce fame if it happens to come
along. No, it means it comes on its own, but we're not give up the desire for fame. It doesn't mean that being famous is not useful. You know, like that. It's a matter, because if people know who you are, they talk, or they want to know more, or like that.
Some people they try to follow the low profile, not to be famous. Kind of, what's that?
I didn't catch it.
No, some people just, I don't know. They would prefer to function on the low profile, not to be famous.
Oh, not to be famous.
Not to be famous, is it correct?
The point is that low profile useful for their service? Because if they have various options, then they choose what's going to work best for the service. You know, because nowadays in your politically correct society, then anything that's a little bit more than ordinary is politically incorrect. Right, so just that immediately, since one doesn't have a Krishna conscious standard to judge social activity interaction by, then it just goes by whatever feelings people are absorbed in now. So then you just have to be very, very careful of that, because if that's going to stop your service, then you avoid anything that will be noticed. If by being noticed, then that will make the service go better, then you do that. You know? Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, would be very outspoken and, you know, very bold and everything like that, and that would get people talking. And then they have to know what is he saying and this and that, so it would attract more people. Right? But if it does the opposite, then you avoid that. Does that make sense? You know, for us it doesn't matter. It's because it's just useful for service. Right? Does that make sense? A devotee should have no faith in worldly poetry. Oh man, there goes Shakespeare. Right? Right. In other words, it says all these nice things that sounds really great, but the point is how will that greatness be manifest except for in connection with the Lord? Right? It's just like, you know, what is it that one the other day? It takes a village to raise a child, right? You know, so, you know, but the point is just if you have a village and you have a child, does that mean the child is naturally raised properly? Like, you know, okay, here's a village and here's a child, you know, like that, you know. Like that, you know. Excuse me, sir, but your kid's over there crying, but we're in the village. I mean, what's the problem? You know, it's like that. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is it's, you know, unless people are trained, they have the proper goal and all that, what's the use of, even if the whole village took part and raised the child, if the child's still not God conscious, then it was a lot of endeavor that didn't really get anywhere. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. So one has to be very careful about worldly poetry. Right? It doesn't mean that it doesn't have elements, but it's not you have faith in the poetry because, you know, the worldliness because of it's put in a poetic fashion. The point is what's useful in Krishna consciousness and applied in Krishna consciousness, that's the point. Does that make sense? It's a very important point to be able to tell the difference between that the technique may be valid but the mentality is not. So because the mentality is not, we don't consider that the person's, you know, one can still maintain a critical view towards that particular stance. Does that make sense? You know, like I was just discussing with Oh, when devotee bhakti, you know, sorry to use the same continent twice, but you're talking about the Maasai, right? So the Maasai, their thing is taking care of cows. Real wealth is cows. And so one devotee is telling Prabhupada about the Maasai. It must have been Brahmananda. He's telling Prabhupada about the Maasai. They wear saffron. They dress just like, you know, we do, like the sannyasi with the lungi and the uttariya. They dress exactly the same. They carry a stick. They have their kamandalu. They even have wooden shoes. And you know what the wood that they, the wood? It's an orange-colored wood, like that, that they make shoes of. And you know what they call the wood? The name of the wood, the African name for the wood? Paduka. Right? It's the Sanskrit name for wooden shoes. So that tree, that wood's called paduka. Okay, so, you know, so many things. They keep cows, and God is the one who has the most cows. Right? And he's blue. Right? So you can say, wow, this is great, you know, they take care of cows. I think they're so tuned into the cows that 6 weeks before the cow will actually show symptoms of getting sick, they can already tell that it's starting. So then they'll take care of it at that point, so it never gets sick. Right? And it's all interesting. Probably, okay, well, you're nice. You know, it seems like, yeah, this is some, you know, remnants of Vedic culture, this, that, you know, so many things like that. The devotees are saying and all enthusiastic, Prabhupada's listening. Then they get to the point where they also consider themselves warriors. So because they're warriors, they don't just drink the milk straight. They have to, they have a way of, they bleed the cow and mix that milk, blood with the milk, so that therefore they're warriors. And right at that point, it's just, you know, problems. Yeah, they're a bunch of tribals. You know, so it's like, you know, all the other stuff doesn't matter. You know, all this thing and the cow and this and that, but then they bleed the cow. So it's like, you know, then what's the meaning? So we don't say, no, but all these other, no. It's not, it's, no, it's the point has been missed.
Like you were saying yesterday, it's a long equation. And
one number's wrong, so the whole equation's wrong. Now, it's not that the point of taking care of cows is nice, but we're not impressed that they take care of cows, because they're not actually taking care of cows. You know, it's not real protection of cows. You know what I'm saying? It has elements, but then everybody's got elements in it. You know, it's like, you know, in the world, you know, you get married. You know, the man marries a woman, they have children, they have a house, they have an occupation, they have money. Is there anything wrong with that? That's right out of Manusamhita. So does that mean, wow, they're all following, you know, Dharma Shastra here? No, it's just... So the living being can't function outside of the natural state of what's the human, you know, basic needs, you know. The manifestation of it, that's where it starts to get weird, right? So the point is just because we can perceive some underlying, it doesn't mean that they can. So taking their thing on, you know, in its form, one shouldn't be impressed by that. But it doesn't mean the mechanics isn't useful in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, then what happens is it's our attachment to, you know, in this case, the worldly poetry, that we see, oh, it's very valuable, it has so many nice things and all this and that. You know what I'm saying? Because what they're talking about is materialism. They just said it very nicely so it sounds inspiring. You know? But we can take that and use it for Krishna, because everything in the world is Krishna and meant for Krishna. But they're speaking about it, it's not connected to Krishna, so it wasn't actually. Does that make sense? It's a very fine to be able to discern what's real and what's not, and then to keep that and then the rest of it. Yeah. It is an offense to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Yeah. Because his direction is to help you become God conscious. Disobeying that means you're not becoming God conscious. Right? Like that. And so then we're trying to please Krishna, so then that would be going against pleasing Krishna. So then that would be an offense. A devotee should give up the desire for liberation and pride of learning. Because liberation just means a neutral point. Right? It's not devotional. Right? It means being freed from the material world is only as valued as how much we're entering into the spiritual world. Right? But if we're simply becoming freed from the material world and coming to that neutral state, that's nothing special. Right? And then pride of learning. We learn, but Krishna is knowledge, and knowledge to be used for Krishna. So you know, if we're proud, being proud of knowledge, same like being proud of money or being proud of, you know, anything that one may have. Does that make sense? Right? It doesn't have any meaning because we're not that. We're not the knowledge. We're not the wealth or the beauty or the fame or the power, you know, or the renunciation. We're not any of that. Like that. All of these are Krishna's opulences. They're meant for Krishna. Right? So it appears different. Oh, okay, well, that's all the, you know, karma, you know, but this is jnana. It's the same thing. So pride and karma, pride and jnana, they both keep one in the material world. Yes?
Is that the borrowed plumes?
Borrowed plumes, yeah. In this case, it would mean borrowed because we know they're, you know, it's God's yeah, it's God's plumes. In this case, you're saying it's someone else has done the work and you're kind of getting by on it, you know. You know, it's because like your brother's very famous. Yeah, you know, he's my brother. You know this guy? Yeah, yeah, no, I'm his brother, you know, so like that. So that's kind of like you're getting, trying to get by on like that. But it's the same principle. Because you say, yeah, see all the knowledge I got? Well, it's actually God's knowledge in this sense. You know God? No, I got his knowledge. Yes. Yes.
When the doubt comes that we often hear from one of you use the salt and the ocean example, he would say a drop of salt water is salt just like the ocean does. So how do you distinguish that, okay, you know, the soul itself has a little bit of knowledge, has similar qualities that Krishna has, but then everything else that we're doing, the renunciation we manifest, all that is Krishna's opulence. Is it partly ours and partly Krishna's, or is it all Krishna's?
Well, who do you belong to?
Krishna.
Then? Yeah. Right? You know, it's just like you have a family, right? And you have the 8-year-old kid, right? And they're going traveling, so he has a backpack. So whose backpack is it?
Dad's.
It belongs to the family, so the father, technically. But it's his quota, so no one's going to use it. It's for him to use. But it belongs to the father. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why Ishvapanishad says everybody has their quota. You know what I'm saying? The father has a house, and so everyone has the quota. You know, your son has this room, the daughter has this room, the dog's out in the back, you know, like that. All the kitchen pots and pans have their place, the toilet paper has its place. You know, everybody has its place. But he's assigned the quota. Right? So God's assigned the quota that everybody gets. You know, so you can use it freely as long as you use it within the rules of, you know, who is setting the quota. Right? You can use your room how you like. You know, you want to put it here, there, do stuff, or put your clock over here instead of there. But, you know, to paint the wall or to, you know, knock a hole through it so you can talk to your brother, that you would have to talk to the boss. Does that make sense?
Then in this context, renunciation would mean I have a certain quota, but I use less than that for my practical needs.
No. It means you have your quota, you use that much. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean by what do you mean by renounced?
Right, I was thinking of the form, I wasn't thinking of the mentality.
Yeah, because there's two things. There's the form, but in the form, who's supposed to be renounced? The grihastha or the renunciate? Right? So in form, the grihastha has so much stuff. How much is his nature and ability to collect? Right? But the renunciate is how little he requires to you know, function. Does that make sense? So they're both functioning according to the quota. In form, right? But in mentality, the point is nothing's ours anyway. It's all Krishna's. So even the grihastha has so much stuff, he should see it that it's all Krishna's. So technically, he's renounced, right? And if the renunciate has, you know, he has his little, you know, his kopan and his kanta and like that, but he thinks it's his, then he's over collecting. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? A devotee should give up the desire for conquest, right? You know, in other words, you know, winning, whatever it is. Well, no, but conquest means that you got them from someone else.
That doesn't help.
You conquered someone else and took that piece of, you know, took his cheddar and made it into coquit. You understand? The conquest, you know, means either physical platform, you know, economic platform, social platform, and intellectual platform in the way of debate. You know how you say it? Yes.
So that's basically atheism.
Meaning?
Conquest. Because if conquest for Krishna...
No, it would be more like, you know... It's not necessarily... I mean, of course, you can say everything if you don't see it in connection with the Lord is atheism. But here it's meaning more that tendency to whatever is your field of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, that you are, you know, how you say... Mm-hmm. Gaining more.
Okay.
You know, even if it's seemingly fairly,
yeah.
You know, but you know, but you're going out of your way, you yeah. know. Okay. You know, it's just like here, boy's learning martial arts. You know martial arts. And then, you know, if something happens, you use it. But if nothing happens, no one even knows you know it. Mm. But the guy who goes out and he goes into the, you know, next dojo and then, you know, challenges the people in that. You guys are useless, like this and that. Or on the street, hey, I heard you're learning some martial arts. Or he just likes, you know, fix some guy like that. You know what I'm saying? That's the need for conquest. Because it's not necessary.
Okay, so, but Prabhupada, he kind of conquered the world, right? But that was.
But no, but see, this is where you're misapplying the usage of the word. You know what I'm saying? The logic's weak there, is that conquering the world doesn't, it means you can conquer, it doesn't mean that you did any force. Let's say you have a whole bunch of, you know, it's the first day of, you know, high school like that, and all the, you know, everybody's sitting around their lockers and everything like that. So, all, you know, everybody's, you know, dressed up and this, that. And then, you know, the new guy that's just transfer, you know, the you know, he's the, what do you call it, the quarterback, he's the, you know, top of the class, he was the, what is it called, the valedictory, like this and all that, walks in the door, right, you know, and that, you know, the sun in the back and the door slowly and he comes in and in slow motion walks and all that, you know, yeah, so he's like conquered the hearts of all the girls that were there. But that doesn't mean he came in and, you know, like that, went and did some, like, kind of Aztec kind of program. And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yes.
Raj, what is it that gives the conditioned souls need to be right?
You mean to be right?
Yeah, right.
Because then you have the sense of security. Because if you're right, then you're secure. And if you're wrong, then that's your connection, your identity, you know, your ability. Something is, you will see as a weakness. So therefore you become insecure. So you have to be right. It maintains your security.
Feeling insecure is uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, but it's, see, the living entity is dependent, right? So that which is dependent never wants to feel insecure, right? That which is independent never feels insecure. Does that make sense? Like Krishna never feels insecure. You know, you never see a time when he's insecure.
So one must cling very tightly to the false identity.
Yeah, because otherwise, without identity, how do you act? Right? How do you know what results you can get? How do you know what you can do with the results? You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty.
But as a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, then one should be okay because
one should be okay. No, because one is never insecure. One just doesn't have any false identity. There's a difference. Insecure means you're uncomfortable with finding out that you're not what you think you are. But right, for the devotee, that he finds out, I'm not the body, you know, I'm the spirit soul, he's not uncomfortable with that. So there's no insecurity. It means there's actual security, because you know, I'm servant of God.
The new identity is manifest yet?
Servant of God, that's identity.
But
I mean, we come here with, I'm the controller and enjoyer, but what kind of controller, what kind of enjoyer? You know,
that doesn't bother because it's also nice.
Because that's a detail.
Yeah. You know,
I'm the controller of this remote. I change the channel. I change the volume. You know, like that. You know, so, you know, for some people that's a big deal. For other people it doesn't matter. You know, the other person sits in the other chair and says, hey, can you change the channel here? Turn it up a bit. You know, like that. So it's a they control by getting you to do it. And the other one is, no, I'm control. I'm doing it. You know, so it's
the controller of the controller
instead
of the servant.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the point is the living entity, the basis is I'm the controller and enjoyer, or I'm the servant. That's the basis. Then everything else is a detail. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's like whatever situation you're in, if you're the servant, you know, you're doing it to please Krishna, right? Then the identity is intact. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the emperor of the world or the guy sweeping the, you know, the street. It doesn't matter. You're still doing it to please Krishna. You're just acting within what facility you have, right? The one has the ability to manage the world. The other guy has the ability to manage a broom and get the dirt into a pile, right?
He's often more successful.
Well, we're talking about guys that are actually emperors of the world, like that. We're not talking about, you know, guys who call themselves emperor of the world, right? You know, like that. You know, okay. The sun god, right?
Yeah.
Right? Louis the 14th, the sun god. Yeah. That make sense?
Thank you.
Yeah, see, working. The process works. He asks his question in time to get it answered. You know, the quality of the question is going, is, you know, getting more and more on a purified platform. Like that, see? The process works. Anything else? Okay. As stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi 13.173, conquering the world by means of material education is not desirable. One engages himself in devotional service, his education is perfected. Right? Because then you use your knowledge to please Krishna. If not, if you use your knowledge, your material education to conquer the world, then that's not very important. Right? You know, use your knowledge to get a job, that's a bit of a waste. Because all it is you've gotten some money or something to sell. You use your knowledge to become Krishna conscious. So it's not that the two can't go on simultaneously, but to just work so hard and get so much knowledge, right? Can you imagine that? 20 years you go to school to get educated, and then all that you get from that is some money? You know? That's not so good. If you go on the dole, you can get some money, and then you could have for 20 years had some fun. You know? Like that. Because the point is after the guy graduates, he doesn't have any fun anymore. The fun time's over, right? You know? Does that make sense? So, you know. So the whole point is conquering the world is not desirable. You want to establish, you know. How a devotee should deal with an enemy is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi 16.113. O Krishna, be merciful on these living entities. Forgive their offense of torturing me. Right? Standard. All acharyas say this.
Acharyas.
Yeah, yeah. No, you missed the point. This is Haridas and then, you know, another Middle Eastern acharya also. Right? So in other words, the enemy is that one is, in other words, if you don't get bothered, let's say no. Yeah, I think how it goes is, if I mean, someone offends you, you're disturbed, and they get a reaction, right? They're disturbed. If you forgive them, you're not disturbed, but they still get a reaction. Good to know, right? Yeah. Okay. Even you forgive, it doesn't mean they don't get the reaction. But if you forgive and you're hoping for their, how you say?
Reaction.
Yeah, like that, then you both get good results. You know, so here, that's why I said before, you put those two together. Right? Forgiveness and show of mercy. So we think that they're two different things. Like that. Or in one situation is this, it's talking about the same situation. Oh, Krishna, be merciful to these living entities. Forgive their offense of torturing me. Yes.
Is that example of Prahlad Maharaj where he's forgiving his...
Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj, it means we're saying any of the who have the problem. Yudhishthir, he's not bothered. You know, in this case, this is Haridas Thakur. You know, like that. So it's just, this. It's the example of these great personalities, because they think like that, because they know the living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. And by this wrong action, they're only going to implicate themselves more and suffer more and forget Krishna more. So if Krishna forgives them, you know, is kind to them, like that, then they may avoid that reaction, so then they'll be less in ignorance, so there's more of a chance of them becoming God conscious.
So how do you avoid the mentality of, or where does the mentality of cynicism come? Because if you're always wanting to forgive, but then you'll see maybe you'll look at patterns, is it just
forgive is one thing, and what arrangements you make for them after that incident, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? If someone always has a problem taking money, it's not that, it means you may forgive them for, you know, just being distracted like that, but it doesn't mean you put them in charge of the money again. You know, it says forgiving doesn't mean being stupid or being sentimental. It just means that you don't hold anything that, oh, you know, he's the stealing guy. No, it just means that he's the stealing, you put him in and say he can't steal. So then, performing service, he'll rectify himself. You know, you throw him out, then he gets nothing. Right, you know, unless of course if he's anywhere near anything, he'll steal it. You know, then you have to place him somewhere else. Yeah, yeah, because if you live in the forest, you can steal anything you like, right? You know, because that's just all there. It's all God's. So, you know, unless you reaching to steal the mango off the tree out in the jungle, and then a lightning bolt, oops, you know, you have to get your. Timing just right, you know, in between the thunderbolts and you catch it, the next one hits, you know, like that, you know, so. Yeah. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki,
yeah.
Jainatai Gaurapremi.